Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
Religious liberty, what it means, who has it, and where it begins and ends, is fast becoming the central focus of a broad public rethinking of the role of religion in public life in Western societies, and indeed anywhere the influence of the Western civilizational project has been felt. The Undersecretary for the Congregation for Catholic Education, Father Frederick Bikina, recently delivered remarks at the official opening of the Benedict XVI Center for Religion and Society at St. Mary's University, Twickenham, London, in which he argued that Catholic institutions of higher learning are privileged places in which to conduct that sometimes contentious public conversation, and are uniquely placed to prove the indispensable role religion has in society, precisely by playing it according to the peculiar identity and mission of the Catholic University. As an external affiliate of the Benedict XVI Center for Religion and Society, I attended the launch event in London earlier this month, and I spoke with Father Bikina following his formal address. In our conversation, we expanded upon some of the themes that he touched on. Father Bikina began our conversation by reflecting on how appropriate he felt it was that the center should take its name from one of the 20th century's foremost academics.
I'm working now for 15 years for higher education international level for the Holy See, and we had three popes in the line who were all very interested in higher education. But obviously Benedict was the one most intimately linked to higher education and therefore also followed very closely what's going on with university. And therefore, I think it's also significant that such a research center, which is focusing within a university on questions of religion and society, is named after him. But we could give a thousand other reasons too, which are more rooted in his personal writings, in his magisterium and so on.
In your remarks, you touched on the question of religious freedom and the importance of religious freedom for institutions. If I could paraphrase it this way, I want to make sure also that I'm getting it right, that one of the best ways that we can work to guarantee our own institutional liberty is by showing society what we do, by actually being contributors. I thought that was a fascinating point, and I was hoping that you could enlarge upon it a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah. There is interesting development. On one hand, religious freedom is not anymore granted in all legislations, and there is a kind of a decline of the corporate religious freedom. Probably there is the freedom of the single person also to believe what he or she wants. But the question of expression of a faith, the expression of a religion in the public sphere, that means also the freedom of a religious institution, of a church, is not granted as it was granted in the past in some countries. And there is a development that we are not sure that the freedom of religious expression, so to say, of the faith community will continue to be. On the other hand, we have seen in the last 20 years a strengthening of the academic freedom of higher education institutions in nearly all legislations. And there's an interesting phenomenon that a Catholic university with a clear Catholic profile probably has a better legal basis for expressing the faith, because they don't come with just doctrine, but it is something that is proved in dialogue, that is proved in a serious and intellectually honest pursuit of truth. And truth, as well as faith, cannot be without freedom. And this is a key thought in Josef Ratzinger and then Pope Benedict, that we don't have to have fear of truth, and that truth can only be found in this kind of freedom. And so the university can become the place, the safe place of the church to develop its mission in an intellectually honest way and in dialogue with other opinions.
He certainly does believe that we need not be afraid of truth. But he was also a fearless and an inveterate dialogue partner. He spoke with anyone and everyone, regardless of whether they shared his views, his basic presuppositions. In fact, he sought out interlocutors who did not share his basic presuppositions. How important is it for Catholic universities, as part of their essential identity, to remember that their purpose is not to spoon-feed doctrine, but to search for truth together?
I think this is very important. And here, I think also the Catholic University can learn from the example of Pope Benedict, who is an eminent academic, because it was appreciated that he was able to dialogue, but he was able to dialogue not because he had just soft opinions on many things, but he had very clear opinions, opinions which you can accept, which you can oppose, but you can engage with. And there is no progress in dialogue and no progress towards truth and no intellectual progress if you don't have clear standpoints. And I remember that he himself once said, it is a problem that in today's theology, sometimes concepts are developed so vaguely that in the end you neither know what really was said, and it's also you cannot even attack it. And I think from this is exactly what the university can learn from his personal example, that a good Catholic university, good university, whatever university, should have a clear vision, a clear mission, a clear standpoint, which can be grounded also and shall be grounded in our case also in the belief in the gospel, in Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, respect that there are other opinions, and then engage with them, trying to show that we have good reason for what we believe. And this was something where Pope Benedict was very strong in Caritas in Veritate, that he said, we even have to expose religion, our religion, our belief, to certain criteria. And then we can even compare religion and we can get into dialogue. We have to accept that religion cannot be a true religion if it's in itself contradictory. The second one is that a religion that is not helping to develop a person to the better, to become more human, it cannot be a real religion. And the third one, if a religion is just for the private sphere and for somebody that withdraws with the help of this religion from reality and no longer serving the common good, then this is also a criteria that this cannot be a true religion. So he gave these three criteria in Caritas in Veritate. That means rationality, that means the good for the development of the single person, the human development, and the development and the service to the common good. And I think this dialogue has not yet been really taken up. And I would wish that more universities than St. Mary's would take up this dialogue and say, we have to engage, but also let ourselves be challenged and let all religions be challenged by these criteria.
That was the Undersecretary for the Congregation for Catholic Education, Father Frederick Bikina, speaking with me, Chris Altieri.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.